Hi, everybody. Before we look at God's Word today, I'd like to speak to all of our Southern California Saddleback campuses about the COVID-19 pandemic going on here. As you all know, we'd hoped that in this new year, it would be over. Well, it's not over. Instead, the infection rate in America is the worst it's ever been. And California is leading the list of having the most infections. And our five Southern California counties are leading California with the worst rates of infection. Now, of course, the big question on everybody's mind is, when are we going to get to be able to have worship services in person again? And the answer still is, as soon as it is safe. I really miss you guys. And it is so frustrating to me, as I'm sure it is to you. But let's just look at the facts, not how we feel, but the facts. Although some people still deny that this pandemic is serious, they need to talk to the families of the 393,000 Americans who've died so far. That's almost 400,000 deaths. And although we have the good news of vaccine arriving, tens of thousands more will die before everybody can be vaccinated. So let me put this in perspective. In all of World War II, 405,000 Americans died. That's all in World War II. That means we're only 12,000 deaths away from having more Americans die from COVID-19 than died in all of World War II. And we will pass that sad marker sometime this next week. Now, this pandemic may not make you sick, but it's killing millions. Do you remember when we first passed the rate of 1,000 deaths a day to COVID? I reminded you that 3,000 people died on 9/11 crisis, and that this past year we were having a 9/11 every 3 days. But then the rate jumped to 2,000 deaths a day, and then to 3,000 deaths a day in November. And now, in January, COVID has been killing Americans at a faster rate than any other time in 2020. In fact, deaths are 217% higher than they were in the fall. Now, I haven't seen today's report, but a couple of days ago, 4,327 Americans died of COVID on a single day. 4,329. Now, I've said this before, but I think it's worth repeating. I'm not willing to gamble your health and the health of our members simply because I'm frustrated and impatient. I love you, and I love all of our members, and I'm called by God to protect you and to protect them as a good shepherd. I'm just not willing to be responsible for the death of a single one of our members. I'd rather resign than be responsible for the death of a Saddleback member. So if anybody is upset or angry with me about my caution, I just have a simple question for them. Are you willing to be responsible before God for the death of any brothers and sisters in our church family? Are you willing to be responsible for it? I'm sure you're not. Now, I'm going to write you more about this next week, but let's just pray that we all just keep loving and keep being patient because God is in control. God's not worried about his church. You don't need to worry about it either. Now, I'd also like to thank all of you for your wonderful letters and notes of support and encouragement because they mean the world to me. This past year was incredibly difficult, and you really are an amazing group of people. I can't tell you enough how much I love you. How much I pray for you, and how much I thank God for you every day. And to the thousands of you new Saddleback people who have joined us this past year, you know, our attendance actually doubled in worship online. Those thousands of you who've joined us while we've been gathering online, we welcome you, and we thank God for you, and we promise to love you in our family. We're not a perfect church, but I will tell you this. I seriously doubt that you'll ever find a more loving church, a more flexible church, a church more willing to tackle big problems in faith, or a more compassionate church. Thousands of you are serving the community during COVID-19. Now, one of the emails that passed on me last week had a line in it at the end that really caught my attention, and it's what I want to talk about today. It ended by saying, "Pastor Rick, I don't know how I would have made it through the chaos this last year without our weekend services online. They have been a lifesaver in this storm, an anchor of hope. So thanks to all of our leaders and elders for protecting us and thinking of us first. With all the craziness out there, I'm grateful for solid Bible teaching that calms my anxious heart." And then she said this, "I'm glad we made it through 2020 together, but I'm hoping to get a fresh start this new year." You know, I've thought about that last phrase over and over in my mind this week. I think it speaks for many of us. I'm hoping to get a fresh start in this new year. So today, as I share part two of the series, The Awesome Power of Vision, I want us to look at what God tells us to do whenever we need a fresh start. Now, both the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Bible are filled with examples of God giving people a fresh start, because God is the God of second chances. He's the God of new beginnings. He's the God of starting over. He's the God of beginning again. He's the God who specializes in giving people fresh starts. Now, when we look at this theme in Scripture, the theme of fresh starts, I particularly like to use the Message translation of the Bible, because when other translations use the phrase made new, the Message always translate that as fresh start. It's the same thing. So let me just show you a few examples. Here's the first one, Zechariah 10:6. From the Message, God says, "I'll save the people of Joseph. I know their pain, and I'll make them as good as new. They'll get a fresh start as if nothing ever happened. Why? Because I am their God, and I'll do what needs to be done for them." What an incredible promise. Aren't you glad that God knows and cares about all the pain you go through? He felt everything you went through this past year. And aren't you glad that no matter what happens in your life, He can make everything as good as new? And aren't you glad that God says, "I'll do what needs to be done to give you a fresh start"? You almost can't count the number of times in the Bible that God gave His people, Israel, a fresh start after they messed up. Let me show you another example. Hosea 14:5 in the Message, where God says, "I will make a fresh start with Israel. They will burst into bloom like a crocus in the spring." After a season of cold and darkness, He says, they're going to blossom with new beauty like spring flowers. That's what I'm praying for our church as we end COVID-19. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's great for Israel, but what about me? Well, Psalm 145:14 says this. In the Message, it says, God gives a hand to those who are down on their luck, and He gives a fresh start to those who are ready to quit. Have you felt like giving up? Have you felt like quitting? You felt like throwing in the towel? Then you picked a good day to worship with Saddleback, because that's what we're going to talk about today. It is always too